As we look through the Old Testament, there are a number of different events that take place that we can learn from, some of them direct examples of some of the things that we need to consider regarding ourselves, and certainly when we look at the things that are taking place in regards to the nation of Israel, we can see more often than not how they would apply to us in spiritual Israel today. And we want to take the time to look at one of those events this evening. Not the battle itself that took place, but the victory song after the battle. Certainly we recognize the book of Judges as being exactly that, a book that tells us about the judges over the nation of Israel. And while there are a series of judges, and Brother John has talked about a couple of them as he talked about those heroes of faith from Hebrews chapter 11, the one we want to consider this evening is Deborah, and actually I guess there were two judges at this point, or two involved. Deborah's the one that's commonly looked at as the judge, but she would not take action unless Barak went to lead the people in the war, and certainly they were fighting against some of the enemies of the nation of Israel, and they were brought great victory. And though all of Israel went out, so many of them went out, not all of Israel necessarily, but so many of them went out and fought, the great story about the victory with Deborah and Barak, of course, is the woman driving the tent peg through Sisera's temple. That's the story we remember more than the other. But in Judges chapter 5, we have what is recorded as a victory song, the song of Deborah and Barak after they were brought victory in this battle. And in this song, I think there are some things that we can learn about victory that will help us to be victorious today. And so, while we're not going to study this song verse by verse, there are some things that are talked about in this song that are recorded here, and that's recorded here in Judges chapter 5, that we want to use to help us to learn a little bit about the things that are necessary for victory, even for us today. Because as they sang to God and sang for the people of Israel, they sang of the victory, and the things that led them to victory are included in the things that they sang. And certainly the first thing that we notice when we look at this song and what is recorded here is that they were victorious because they had leadership. Note verse 2 of Judges chapter 5, that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. And again, in verse 9, my heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, the volunteers among the people, bless the Lord. They acknowledged that a part of the reason that they had victory is because they had leadership. And certainly this should come as no surprise to us. We recognize that there is a need for leadership in order for us to keep ourselves on the right way. We need to have some sort of guide. Certainly, to begin with, God should be our guide and our leader. But we also need to recognize that God has designed His people and the things, the organizations that God has given us in such a way that there are leaders. The very first organization that God designed, the family, was given a leader. The husband is to be the leader of the family. He is to watch out for and care for. He's to plan and to consider and to lead. Deborah and Barak, when they sang this song, said they were victorious because the leaders led. Certainly, we read in Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there's a way which seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And again, in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, I know, O Lord, the way of man is not in himself, nor is it a man who walks to direct himself. And these passages remind us that it's not men that we look to, because if a man cannot direct his own steps, he's going to have difficulty directing my steps in the way that is ultimately right. And these passages remind us that God is to be our leader. We'll talk about that a little more when we get to another one of the verses a little later down. But we do recognize that God has designed things so that we have men who are watching out for us. And we can see the results of not having leaders in Judges chapter 2 and verse 19. It came about when the judge died that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers. In following other gods to serve them and bow down to them, they did not abandon their practices or their stubborn ways. Or again in Judges 17 and verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. This happened time and time again through the book of Judges. Once the leader that had brought them out of their trouble passed away, maybe even some of those who were of his contemporaries were able to hold things together for a while, but once that generation was gone, the men and women of Israel went about doing whatever they want. If we don't have leadership that is looking out for us and considering what needs to be done, we're not going to be as profitable as we could be. Now, this is not to say that because we don't have elders here, we'll never be able to please God. That's not the case. But certainly, having proper leaders, as God designed for it to be, would allow us to better reach the potential that we have in serving God. And even when we find ourselves in a situation such as we are, where we don't have elders who are leading, there needs to be those who are looking out for it. Those who are considering the situation, while they can't be set in place as leaders if they are not qualified to be elders, certainly they are concerned about the direction of the congregation. We need to give attention to such things, and certainly we need to be doing what we can to develop leaders amongst us so that they can step up and take the leadership role, so that leaders can lead. If we want to be victorious in serving the Lord and in our work for Him in this community. But another thing that we see in these two verses is the willingness of the people. Notice again there in verse 2, the people volunteered. And again in verse 9, the volunteers among the people. The people were willing to step up and do their part. It is absolutely impossible for a leader to lead if there's nobody following. In order for them to be victorious, not only did they have to have men who would take the lead and gather together and head out, there had to be others who would get up and march into battle with them. We need to recognize that we as individuals, no matter what part we may play in the congregation, need to be willing to do the work that must be done. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5 of those who had done more than expected. This not as we expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Writing about those that wanted to contribute and help from Macedonia. Peter, even when he's talking about elders, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. And every time I read this passage, I stop and think, well, is he talking about the elders or volunteers, or the people voluntarily follow the elders? And I think when you look at the context, both are under consideration. It's not a, you have to do this, but it is a, this is what we ought to do, and the people are willing to step up and do what needs to be done. If we're going to win the battle, we've got to be willing to be involved in the battle. We need to volunteer. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18, the Hebrew writer calls out for prayer on his behalf. He says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. We ought to have a desire to do the things that need to be done in serving the Lord. If we want to see victory, just like Israel in the days of Deborah and Barak and any other battle that we might go and look at where they were victorious, we will find that not only did they have leadership that was willing to lead, but they had volunteers of the people. The people were ready and willing to do their part. Whatever it may have been. Certainly, when we look through Scripture, we find we're described as a people who are varied in our talents. The parable of the talents that Jesus gives to His apostles And his disciples there talking about the five talent, the two talent, the one talent man. The instructions that we have in some of the letters from the Apostle Paul that talks about there are fine vessels and there are vessels of wood and vessels of gold. Or the description that we have several times of the body of Christ as a physical body and that each member must do its job. Each part must fulfill that which it's best suited to do. We need to be willing. If we want to be victorious, we're going to have to be willing to step up and do our part, whatever that part may be. But as we alluded to a moment ago, Israel won because they trusted in God. First and foremost, their leader was God. Look at Judges chapter 5 and verse 13. Then the survivors came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came down to me as warriors. Take note of that. The people of the Lord. They were a people that were devoted to God. They put their trust in Him. And they were confident, as we talked about this morning in regards to our need to be confident in prayer, that God would provide. That He would give them victory. The attitude expressed by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? We need to put our trust in God. God has told us that if we will fight His fight, He will fight for us. Time and time again, as the Israelites were working at defeating the various nations of peoples in the land of Canaan, as they were traveling in the wilderness, we see direct evidence and we see direct statements from the writers that God went before them. Examples of natural events occurring to destroy the people that they were going out after. Even something as simple as the falling of the walls of Jericho is an evidence to us that God was doing the work. They could put their trust in Him. God was fighting for them, and we can know that He will fight for us as well. We've been told time and time again through Scripture, whether we look at the epistles of the Apostle Paul or the various other writers or the recordings that we have of the life and ministry of Jesus in the four Gospels. All of these things indicate to us that if we will devote ourselves to serving God and to doing His will, He will be there for us. He will stand up and fight for us, even in things as simple as seeing to it that we have the things that are necessary to sustain life. If we will put first Him and His kingdom, we need to put our trust in God. Because it is only through God that we're going to be victorious. Another thing that we see in this song that seems to be an indication of how they were victorious is there was some mindfulness. And with this term mindfulness, I have in reference the things that are mentioned in verse 15 and 16. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah, as was Issachar, so was Barak. Into the valleys they rushed at his heels. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping for the flocks? Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of hearts. I see those two phrases as an indication that there was mindfulness. They thought about what was going on. Maybe one of the reasons that they were so willing is because they considered their condition. They recognized the situation that they had gotten themselves in. Certainly the Judge Deborah was raised up because the people cried out at the oppression. They thought about it. They put their heart, their mind into this battle. We need to have mindfulness in our service to God today. We need to study the Word of God so that we can be shown to be approved, one who can rightly handle the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God so that when we are accosted by our adversaries and asked why we believe the things we believe, we can show them in the Scripture why it is that we follow those practices. We need to be able to give an answer to those that would ask of our hope. We need to be able to talk to others about salvation. We who have been taught need to develop ourselves such that we can become teachers ourselves. In some manner or another, each one of us is capable of doing some form of teaching. It may not be standing in front of an audience or taking the lead in a class. It may be offering our thoughts and understandings of Scripture in the class as one of the participants. It may be sitting around the table with our neighbors and talking to them about the salvation that we know. It may be impressing upon our little ones the importance of considering God and His Word throughout all of their life. Each one of us needs to put our mind into the Word. And we need to consider how much of the work can I do? Sometimes when we think of such things, we think in terms of how much do I want to do? Well, certainly there needs to be a willingness there and a desire. But I think rather we should word it to ourselves, how much can I do? Is there something more that I can do that I'm not doing to help bring about victory? Or am I leaving it up to the leaders? Imagine if God had raised up Deborah and Barak and they called the people to go and fight against this army to relieve them of their affliction, and nobody but Deborah and Barak went. They couldn't have been successful. Maybe everybody back in the camp said, well, we really want to win. We really hope that we can do well. Y'all have a nice day. We'll see you when you get back. You see, along with that willingness needs to be participation. We need to be working for the Lord. We need to be mindful. This leads us into the next thing, and we've already made note of this. In verse 24, one individual is called out. Most blessed of women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. Why? Because she took the opportunity that was given to her to help bring about victory. Now, there was more fighting after she killed Sisera. There was more battle that had to be done. But because she was given that opportunity and she took advantage of it, she took action as an individual to do what it was that she could do, it assisted in the victory. Made the victory more sure, more certain. How much are we watching for things that we can do? How much consideration are we giving in our day-to-day lives to the things that we might be able to accomplish? Jael saw an opportunity. Sisera came to her looking for a place of rest. She provided him with things that would relax him. And then she took his life. Evidenced in that is her fear of God, her willingness to participate in bringing about victory, her knowledge and understanding of the things that were going on. Elsewise, why would she take such an action? She knew what was happening. She knew what the goal was. And she was willing to take the steps that were offered to her to play her part. Each individual person is responsible for their own action. There are a lot of things that need to be done in order for us to see victory, whether we're talking about as a congregation or as an individual. What we need to remember is that when it comes time to stand before God, we're not going to stand before God as the Tanner Street Church of Christ. We're going to stand before God as Dan. And it's Brenda. And it's Chris. And it's Jimmy. And all the other individuals that make up a part of this congregation. Or any other congregation that might be represented here. Individuals. And we need to take action as individuals. We need to do our part. We need to be looking for opportunities and taking advantage of them. These things are contained in this song of victory that we find here in Judges chapter 5. One other thing that we find at the end of the song, in Judges chapter 5 and verse 31, "Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love Him be like the rising of the sun in its might." And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. Love of God. Not just trust in God, but love of God is what gave them the strength to fight the battle. We need to love God. Oftentimes we hear folks talk about how willing they are to step out of their safety zone in order to protect or do things for those that they love. Willing to step into danger to pull back one that they love from harm. Willing to endure hardship in order to provide for the one that they love. And certainly, we're not trying to indicate that God needs us. And we need to love Him enough to step in and help Him out. But if we can have that kind of love for our fellow man, for our family, for even our friends sometimes, shouldn't there be a similar kind of love expressed toward the God who has provided for us the means of salvation? A willingness to do what we can for His cause? A desire to take whatever steps are necessary in order for us to be able to be in His presence? Isn't that what Israel did? Yes, they had gotten themselves in trouble. And they realized their situation. They realized the problems that they had caused themselves, and they cried out to God. And because they knew God would step in and help them if they would willingly do their part. And because they wanted to have the blessings of God in their life again. Because they wanted the rest that had been promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. To Moses and the rest who left the nation of Israel, the nation of Egypt. They wanted that rest. And they had a love for God. They stepped up and did their part. Love for God will cause us to do things that we might not otherwise do. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 22, we have recorded about Saul, who later is known as Paul, who kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Stop and think about that for just a moment. These are the same Jews that were expecting this Saul to come up from Jerusalem to remove the Christians, to fight against this Christ. But because of the love that Saul, Paul, had for God, he not only stopped fighting against God, but he began to fight for God with the very ones who had expected him to fight on their side. Victory requires us to have a love of God as well. The question for each of us this evening is, do I recognize these things, and are these things present in my life? If we want to have victory, whether we're talking about victory as a congregation or victory as individuals or victory in our family, these need to be some things that we're considering, some things that are on our mind. We need leadership. If we're talking individual, then certainly we're talking about the leadership, the guide from Jesus in the Scriptures. If we're talking about in the family, we need leadership in the family. We need someone that takes his place. And yes, I said takes his place. And stands up and says, I'm going to direct my family down the path that God has laid out. And we'll lead. Not just follow along or walk beside or hope for the best, but we'll stand up and lead. We need willingness on our own part. We need to have trust in God. We need to involve our mind. We need to think about these things. We need to resolve that I'm going to do that which I know is right. That's a part of that mindfulness. It talks about the resolve of heart. Make a determination that this is what I will do. I'm not saying we have to have a list of resolutions that we check off as we get them done, but we need to resolve. We need to determine in our heart that this is how I'm going to conduct myself. We need to stand up as individuals and do our part. Not just for our own sake, but for our brother's sake, for our family's sake. When the leaders lead, we need to be willing to follow. Do our part. See to it that we all work together as a cohesive unit, all working for the same cause. That's why we find in the book of Ephesians such calls for unity. Elsewhere in the Scriptures as well, we have a need to work together, common cause, focus on the same things, all about serving God because of our love and our desire to be with Him. And our hope that we will be able to spend time with Him throughout our lifetime. Psalm, Deborah and Barak, gives us these indications of what it takes to see victory. We have those sort of things in our life today. As a congregation, we don't have the leadership that God has designed for us to have. Are we doing anything to work toward that? Is there any hope for that in the future? Is that something we need to be concerned with? What about our own individual willingness? Either as one who might be qualified to do that, to step up and take that place, or those who need to do their part. The willingness of the hand to reach out, hold, the foot, take a step. Each part to do their part. Certainly, we need to devote ourselves into the service of the Lord. As individuals, we work, and we can work together as a congregation. But it's only going to be as powerful, as useful as each of us are individually to change the image. Change is only as strong as we just win. We've just got to be doing our part if we want to see victory. Victory came to Israel because these things were a part of their life. It can come to us as well. What goes on in your heart? Are you serving the Lord? Have you devoted yourself to Him? Does your love for God cause you to willingly do His will? Do those things that need to be done. To spend time in His Word. To increase your knowledge and understanding. So that you can fulfill your part. As a part of the body of Christ as a whole. And as a part of the body of Christ in this location. If you look this evening, you find there's some things that are missing in your life. That you need to correct. We urge you to correct them while you have time. The congregation consists. Opportunity is yours. Why don't you come and stand in the center of your church?